Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for women.
And after all these beers, we're going to be lonely from all the sharts.
Mike.
I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
We're the Drunk Guys, and this week we're reading Miss Lonely Sharts by Nathaniel West, spelt odd, Nathaniel West. We didn't say who's starting with the beer, so it's me, because I have two anyway. I have work tomorrow. So this book, the premise is the main character writes a, you know, Dear Abby type column, and people are constantly writing in with their questions and concerns, and they are ridiculous things like, oops, I doubled my pants.
I doubled my pants?
That's what it's called. Oops, I doubled my pants.
That's too many pants.
It's a problem. I would need advice. I guess it's a metric pair. Of pants when you double it. This is Oops, I Doubled My Pants from Sand City, and it's a double. They have a beer called Oops, I Hopped My Pants, which is an IPA, and this is the double version, I guess. Oops, I Doubled My Pants, but I feel like it's missing a word, like Oops, I Double Hopped, or I don't know. I'm drinking.
You could have just gotten more pants.
I mean, when I wear snow pants, I'm basically doing that. It's a delicious double IPA. I'm already like six beers deep, so it's fine. So this book...
Wait, you've already had six beers today?
It's been a day. My wife and I are irresponsible people.
It is a Tuesday.
We're both off, first off. So it's a Saturday, essentially.
So it's a Saturday every day.
Eventually. But then, like, the last week of leave becomes a Sunday every day, which is a bummer. And we have this really borderline alcoholic tradition that we traded in our car. Today, and when we trade in the old car, we have a drink in it in the driveway. So we had to do that.
One last DUI.
But it was not running. We were just sitting in a parked car drinking. Then I feel like I'm writing a letter to this guy right now. And then the new car, we brought that home, and it was still early. And we're like, let's have one more. Toast the new car. And then it just happened, a family member came by to drop off presents for our kid. And I was like, well, let's have some beers, I guess. Here we are. I have a newborn. Sleep is a thing that doesn't happen anyway. Not in a regular way.
Mm. All right. So, Miss Lonely Hearts. So, it is a very strange book. The main character, it's a guy who's just referred to as Miss Lonely Hearts the entire time. And so, you think, you know, oh, it's a guy who, like, answers the letters that come in an advice column. Except... All the letters he gets are so incredibly depressing and it's not people like, oh, hey, I don't know if I should go out with this boy or that boy. It's like, no, my husband is dying and we're all dying and we're all poor
and all these
terrible things. Yeah. So this was written during the Depression.
1932.
Probably written during the most depressing year of the Depression, actually, which was 1932. And so... He is just a, like, broken man. He just is, like, so incredibly depressed with everything. And you know what? This reminded me of something I heard about. The people that Facebook hired to do, like, content moderation, and they really have to look at, they have to, like, approve or, you know, deny a lot of really crazy posts. Like, and what I've heard
child
is, like...
porn and violence.
These are very traumatized people after doing that job for a while. And it's like, oh, yeah, I can understand that.
Now that's just your regular feed on Twitter.
Yeah, they don't do that on Twitter. That's just
no. They amplify that.
And so the guy named Miss Lonely Hearts in the book is just, well, would you say so? He's like, you know, would you say he's just chasing a feeling?
Probably
his other half, because he's like first. Goes to see a woman, and then he just gets drunk a lot, and then his boss yells at him and, like, torments him, and then he goes out and sees another woman, and then there you go, the end. Join us next week.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. You left out some of the nice racism, but, you know, that's basically that.
Yeah, there was definitely some of that, too.
Some amazing racism. It's not what you think. My favorite line that's racist, it's not when the N-word came out, that was Nate's, it's when... They say, after a long Armenian-like argument.
Yeah, I didn't know what that one meant. You know, that's just some vintage racism. Like, I wasn't aware of the stereotypes of Armenian diatribes, I guess. I don't know.
No idea.
You know Armenians. They love a good long argument.
I mean, is anything to not work? I don't know. Like, where's this? Where is the actual racism? I don't know, but it's
my friend. My favorite one was when he goes upstate with his girlfriend, and the guy at the gas station says, "There's no more deer because the Jews chased away all the deer." He didn't say the word Jews, but
he said something else.
They will do that because back then deer meant expensive. it was a haggling pun.
It's possible.
You don't
the guy
know,
who wrote this
not.
Is he is Jewish, and he changed his name to the more cosmopolitan sounding West.
He was like Weinstein or something. Weinstein. Yeah. I not that I care about this at all. Like, but the internet makes you notice this now. You ever seen that video where it's like, I'm the guy that marks who's Jewish online?
Oh, the fucking parentheses people.
Like, but it's a spoof, and he's like, I'm the guy who keeps track of who's a Jew in Hollywood. It's so long, and he has like a spreadsheet. He's like, don't mind that I put Bob Iger on there 8 times. Like, he's just making it so it looks like there are more Jews. But when I saw he was buried in Mount Zion Cemetery in Queens, where I used not far from where I used to live, I was like, oh.
And his other book is about how LA sucks. So, you know.
Well, this takes place in a not specific city, I think.
This is New York.
But does it actually ever say it? Or, I mean, it feels like it.
Yeah.
It's newspaper town.
Maybe I just assumed it was New York, yeah, but I definitely knew it was New York.
Yeah, it's all about New York.
All right. Well, he writes that column, and it's not just like sad people where they're like, I'm poor and my husband has a broken leg. One of the very first letters is like, my older sister is deaf and dumb, and a man molested her on the roof of our house, and I don't want the boys to make fun of us. Like, Jesus.
And there was one about the girl who had no nose because a dog ate it, and now she can't get anyone to go out with her, and she's lonely.
I always almost wondered because the boss, Shrike, is such a monster. Was he just writing the letters himself? I thought that was going to be like a big twist at some point because he's such an asshole.
No, he's just learned to live in this terrible world and enjoy making money out of it. Because that's what Miss Lonely Hearts gets the job. He's like, hey, I'm going to be a newspaper man. Back when you could do that, you'd just be like, walking and say, he's like, I'm going to do this now. And they say, fine, here's a desk. I like the cut of your jib. But his first job at the newspaper is the, you know, advice column. And he's like, yeah, I'll take that. I'll just work my way up to being a journalist from there. That's a reasonably related field, right? You know, once you've answered the saddest letters in the world, you can do journalism.
In the 1930s, probably.
Yeah.
That was like...
There were no journalism schools. It was just like, are you going to wear out your shoe leather chasing down a lead? I think that was spelled.
Today's headline, everything still sucks.
Even in as late as at least the 90s, there were guys who just like worked their way up by being hard-nosed and drinking a lot, and they got a column in a big paper, and they'd be making crazy money.
Oh, yeah. Well, the whole columnist field is super weird. It's just like, just write about bullshit, and we'll publish it.
But we feel like your take will pay you a lot.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jimmy Breslin.
Or fucking like Andy Rooney or whatever.
Yeah, Andy Rooney. He's like kind of a pretty classic.
There's just less meat on sandwiches these days.
What about, why is it Meta Usil? It's not just me.
That's so stupid.
It's totally what he would say, though.
Yeah, it's stupid but accurate. Give that man $100,000
a week.
A week, yeah. I mean, the guy who broke, I forget which of the New York City police brutality stories of the late 90s. Was it Abner Louima, the one where they like...
Oh, the broomstick one?
The broomstick guy?
Yeah, it's Louima.
The columnist who broke that story, I'm pretty sure he was making $500,000 a year in 1996 to write for like Newsday or The Post.
Ugh.
Yeah. Like they were making shit tons of money, these dudes, to just write articles like, what's with traffic lights? Like, that was some people like, good point. So anyway, this guy he's not far. He is on his way.
Well, he's just doing an advice column. Which is...
He doesn't actually answer a single letter in the whole book, no. In the whole very short book. He doesn't actually sit down and write a single column or answer any of them.
He's too depressed.
I don't blame him. Those letters are sad, bro.
He has been beaten down by all the letters and just the sheer mountain of misery that is life.
I mean, this is very, it would be very depressing to do this, but this is like everyone on the internet today experiences the same level of, you know, people who are like on the internet, like are just looking at Facebook all the time. They must experience this level of humid sadness on a daily basis.
But he can't click over to their OnlyFans accounts and like take care of that sadness.
No, he can only go drinking at the bar downstairs and then call out sick the next day like a real American.
Not like some pinko.
So yeah, he goes. So anyway, he and his boss seem to go, they go to the bar and they get really drunk. And the boss is like crazy. And I didn't even know what the hell he's talking about, like ever. I really, it's like, what is he talking about? And so I tried to look up like, hey, what is this book about? And it's like, it's about the disillusionment of America in the 1930s. It's like, well.
Yeah, that's straightforward.
Hold
it
your
was
horses.
That simple?
Yeah.
Because it's almost like I thought it was going to be more complicated than that. Because I don't know what the fuck this guy Shrike is talking about ever.
Do you know what a Shrike is?
Isn't that like a ninja star?
No, it's a Shriken. A Shrike is a bird that hunts little animals and then finds a thorny bush or like a barbed wire fence and just impales its victims on them to leave them for later. So, like, they'll find little bushes covered in impaled mice and bugs. It's like, oh, shrikes live here. It's an intense fucking bird.
I'm pretty sure that is a bird invented by children with issues. No, the shrike came by again, Mom. It wasn't me torturing
those
animals.
No, they're real, and you know what? They're not that big. That's the scary part. You'd think it'd be a big bird, and it is not a big bird.
All right, well, that's a clue.
It's like this guy just, you know, there's a lot of Jesus stuff in here. I had to imagine the impaling thing and letting them around to suffer, to toy with. That's got to be somewhat related.
The Jesus stuff is not subtle. It is.
No. But it also, I mean, I have to imagine, was it Shrike is always pushing for him to like, turn to Jesus, that's the answer.
Or to tell people Jesus was the answer. That's what he should write in his column.
Yeah.
Not that he believes that.
He might. Yeah.
I don't think he believed in anything, that guy.
He believed in making money.
Yeah.
And someone else trying to fuck his wife.
Yeah, the impaling thing.
Yeah, that's
there's
true.
A the theme there.
I mean, I guess it could be English 101 being like, faith and religion are an easy answer when there are no answers. You know, just believe that there's a greater purpose and you won't be fucking miserable, or you will be, but, you know, there'll be a reason for it, and things will be better next time. Turn to God. Which, you know,
he doesn't hand you things you can't handle.
Yeah. Turns out he does, because that girl had no nose. And there was, like, the lady who kept getting pregnant because her husband was Catholic, and the doctor was like, please stop having babies, it will kill you. And the guy was like, gotta keep having babies, that's your point. And he's like, now I am in bed, and I am bleeding. Please help me.
And they'd always have like a cutesy sign off.
Yeah, like, thanks for all the advice, comma, baby lady. Baker's dozen.
Yeah.
And the girl with no nose, like, signed, no nose is good nose.
The one with the molested sister was, diddle me this. Oh, was God. No, come on. Oh, well, that's too far. All right. Probably is. One of the other ones later was broad shoulders. And yeah, I remember reading that and I was like, I see what you're doing there. And then they were like, P.S. It's because there's a lot of my shoulders. Like, oh, I fucking got it. Asshole. So that's the whole fucking book.
So he goes to see Betty, who is his fiance, who he like never seems to actually see.
Is she the one with the boobs that he keeps looking at?
No, that's the wife.
Okay. No, that's Shrike's wife.
Betty is his on again, off again girl who he drunkenly asked to marry, and they kind of said yes, but they don't really because everyone's just a drunk.
Anyway, so they're drunk, and he feels her up, and he says, he would have welcomed a slap, but even when he caught her nipple, she remained silent. Let me pluck this rose, he said, giving a sharp tug. I want to wear it in my buttonhole. Like, what?
Some of these descriptions are fucking wild.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what are you talking about?
I liked this one. The detective saw a big woman enter the park and start in his direction. He made a quick catalog, legs like Indian clubs, breasts balloons, and a brow like a pigeon.
What does that mean?
Despite her short plaid skirt, red sweater, rabbit skin jacket, and knitted tam o' shanter. What the fuck that is?
That's an Irish hat. It's the Irish hat with the little doodly doo on the top.
Okay.
The first time I've ever seen that word anywhere.
Yeah. What is a pigeons are not known for their brows. They're birds.
I really wondered what that meant.
Does that mean her eyes on the sides of her head?
She was pecking at a discarded French fry. But like scrunching her forehead up as she did it.
There's just some, like, I'd be reading this and be like, yeah, okay, this is kind of weird. And then something like that would jump out like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that was most of the book.
We are not men who swallow camels only to strain at stools. Is that a poop joke? Like, I don't even know what that one meant.
That's what I thought.
It's like the camel's too big, you can't digest it. I don't know.
I think the point of that is we don't do the hard thing to complain about the little part that comes later or something like that.
Yeah.
And if you swallow the camel, that seems like the harder part than shitting out the camel.
It sounds like one of those like translations of a saying from another country.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it is said that the man who wakes up before dawn catches all of the omelets. I don't know if that works right.
They say that at Denny's.
That's, yes, he who hits the grand slam has the most eggs. So they go drinking at a speakeasy, and there was a bizarre conversation. Do you remember that? When they talk about the weird rapey gangs that exist.
Oh, yes. Where they like kidnap women and like put them in a back room for a few days. And they sell tickets for the last day.
Women who are attempting to have like a life and career on their own.
This is the quote, and this is not my words. These are not me talking. This is the book talking. He suggested that those women Nate mentioned, he also didn't suggest this, all they needed was, quote, a good rape.
Yeah, that is
that's
what
like, said. Yeah. And then the guy goes, I knew a gal who thought she was great. And then a bunch of men kidnapped her and they got her into the back room to teach her a new word and put the boots to her. They didn't let her out for 3 days. On the last day, they sold tickets to gentlemen of African persuasion.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bleak world. There's a reason they call it a depression, right? Waka waka.
Mm, wah, wah, wah. Much like the 20s, she was roaring. Oh, Jesus. So this is happening, and Miss Lonely Hearts is like, I just don't want to feel anything anymore. I don't want to know this.
Except when he answers one of the letters from a lady who says, I'm married to a cripple. Because I have a son with another... I have a child with another from another relationship, but I married this guy who take care of us, but he's a cripple and I don't like that. And so help me out. And so he meets up with her and they bang.
So she leaves her phone number.
Yeah.
Which is
like 6.
Burgess 77323. That's her phone number. Cause that's the way they worked back then. So he doesn't actually write a column. Because he doesn't do that even once in the book where he actually answers the letter. No, she leaves a phone number, so he calls it, and then they meet up, and then they bang.
And then the husband comes to find him, and he says, hey, my wife said you were a dude, so it's okay to ask you questions, because I can't ask questions of a lady, because that would be silly. And then they get really shit-faced in the bar, and then they become best drunk friends. And they just hold hands for a little while just to feel something.
It's mostly feeling other people's hands.
Yeah, you feel the other people's hands. Well, yeah, it's just hand stuff. And he's also trying to bang Shrike's wife, who just likes to tease dudes to get her. And Shrike is okay with that because she'll get all riled up and then she'll go home and maybe bang him because he refuses to otherwise. So, yeah.
She's the one that wears the medallion between her bosoms.
Yes, the one that says best track 100 meter dash in the chess club or something weird, something like obscure like that.
Gash, 100 meter gash. Yes. And he he's like, let me see her medal again. She's like, okay, like as if she doesn't know that he's just looking at her titties. And he's like, I never read the medal once. He's just looking at them. It's like, this is a prime example of boobs. They should be in the American Museum of Big Naturals history.
And Shrike knows he's doing this and is okay with it. He's like, haha, you can't bang my wife, you fucking loser.
Yeah. I'm going to bang her once you warm her up for me.
Yeah. Make out with her neck for a while.
It's fucking weird, man.
Yeah. Everyone's a little bit crazy.
It's like they all sit in the cuck chair in 1932. The whole country was sitting in the cuck chair.
I mean, the other thing that happens is the end where...
He goes on a little road trip with another girl.
He goes on the road trip where he goes to find Betty's family's house upstate where the Jews have chased away all the deer, according to that guy. But he has a nice vacation, and he feels a little bit better about things until he returns and everything immediately sucks again.
But there's a part there where, like, he's with the girl, and, like, he tries to bang her, and she's like, no, I'm a virgin. He's like, okay. But then she's naked the whole rest of the trip. He's like, I don't know what that means. Am I supposed to assume that that was just a thing she said, and then they had sex? But then he sees her naked, hanging up the clothes on the clothesline. And he's like, she looked fat. But then when she lifted her arm up, things settled out nicely. It's like, weird, dude. But it's also like 1932. Like, she was probably comically thin by today's standards.
Because of the depression.
Plus the depression. Yes. But like, just like no one was overweight in 1932. Like, you had to really try. You had to be like a sultan. And he's like, she's a little chubs. Oh, actually, no, it's settled out. When you lift the arms up, it's just right. It was really a weird observation.
It is odd. It's one of many odd observations.
Did you highlight any, Nate?
So is the line that I'm sure doesn't mean today what it sounds like. The way to be gay is to make other people gay, Lonely Heart said.
That's a groomer's thing.
Sleep with me and I'll be one gay dog. Like, It's like Batman's boners. It's kind of like it just didn't mean that back then.
Doesn't make it less funny.
Oh, it doesn't.
You know, I wrote this one down. I can't believe how old this joke is. It was a guy in the bar saying, I'm expecting one of my admirers, a cow-eyed girl of great intelligence. He illustrated the word intelligence by carving two enormous breasts in the air with his hands. Like, I didn't know that was a 100-year-old
really
joke.
Smart.
Yeah.
Check out the brains on her, you know
people
what I mean?
People still say that now. I did not think it was from the Depression.
I'm sure that you could find like a medieval manuscript and like, I doth do declare that it is upon her bosom is rendered great majesty. If thou dost know what I am implying, sire. Well said, sir. Yes.
Is't thou aware of what I am speaking?
I am most aware of her bequeathment. I'm sure like in the Bible, there's like, render unto Caesar, what is do unto Caesar? Is like, hath much been rendered unto her, rear end, sir. It has been said. And it is due to me.
All right, so almost the last page. So he sees Betty, and she says, I'm pregnant, and then he, with no feeling,
not much
says,
of a virgin.
Oh, he, like, in the book, he's like, has no feeling, but he's going through the motions of saying, oh, no, we're going to keep the baby, we're going to get married, we're going to have a house, we're going to have a family, and blah, 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 blah. But he says, like, oh, I have no feeling at all, just nothing. And then when nearly the last page, he says, he begged the party dress to marry him. Which she's wearing a party dress in this scene for reasons that don't matter at all. He begged the party dress to marry him, saying all the things it expected to hear, all the things that went with strawberry sodas and farms in Connecticut. He was just what the party dress wanted him to be, simple and sweet, whimsical and poetic, a trifle collegiate, yet very masculine. So he's trying to find meaning in his life, and he's like just completely given up, and he's just going to pretend he has any meaning or feeling because he is that disillusioned with American society in 1933.
Yeah, that's fun.
It's just beating him. He's going to try and pretend, even though he hates it.
Like having a kid to save the marriage.
I guess it's refreshing to know that feeling that the world is a machine that just chews you up isn't a new thing.
No, it's been that way for most of human history, I would imagine.
Well, since they
for certain people.
Well, I mean, these people are doing better than most. I mean, you know, even the people at the top find something to complain about. It's like the human condition, you know. Any other things
at the very
of
end,
note? Yeah, please.
The husband.
Oh yeah.
Of the woman that he banged, the woman who wrote him the call, who wrote to him, and he called her phone, and then banged her, and then he made friends with and held hands with in the bar.
The gimpy foot guy.
Yeah, is mad at him because after he went to dinner, he went to his house for after Miss Lonely Hearts, after the man named Miss Lonely Hearts went to his house for dinner, and the wife was like, "Please fuck me," and then he didn't. The guy, his name is Doyle, came to Miss Lonely Heart's house and then shoots him.
Maybe.
Yeah, well, it's also not totally clear, but...
Well, before that happens, Miss Lonely Hearts has to have a complete religious awakening, which I'm not sure if we're supposed to take it seriously or not, but he's like, it's Jesus! Everything is Jesus.
I don't think we're supposed to take it seriously based
on
think
we're supposed to
this
take
guy's
book. But... the description of the cripple guy is, you know, I have a question about this. The quote, the cripple had a very strange face. His eyes failed to balance. His mouth was not under his nose. Where was it?
Somewhere else.
Where was it?
He has a Picasso-esque physique.
He has a crippled face? He has Taco Bell's palsy. He shitted it out. But then I'm not sure what we're supposed to take from this, but like the guy I don't think this book has a solution. I think this book is just
it's just everything sucks.
Bitter musing. But Miss Lonely Heart seems to be like, it's a religion. You need Jesus in your life.
Or that's just the last act of a desperate man.
Yeah. He doesn't actually seem to have found any happiness from it. In the book, he is pretending to himself, like, I have found Jesus, therefore I'm happy, but that he actually isn't. Everything is still the same.
Oh, it's like those people who are like, I've eaten, prayed, and loved. I guess I'm happy now.
Yeah, those three things are good.
Yeah, they're fine.
Maybe not pray. I don't really give a shit about that. Eating is good.
Thinking about eating Taco Bell, it's usually eat love and then pray afterwards. Like, please make it go. Make the pain stop. It's a choose your own adventure, eat, pray, love at Taco Bell. Yeah, I don't know what we're supposed to take from it, except for like, life is miserable and people are... if you read the Wikipedia article for this, which is the research I did, that's what we do for you listeners.
I watched a few YouTube videos.
Oh, shit. So, excuse me.
They took almost as long to watch as it did to read the book. It's like 58 pages.
Every place I looked, it got longer. When we talked last week, we were like, should we do that book? And it was like 112 pages sold. I'm like, thank God, a short book. Then I read on Wikipedia, it says it's 208 pages. It's like...
It depends on the edition. It must.
What is this, like the Little Red Book edition where the pages are 2 inches tall? Like, how was this ever 200 pages?
Pocket Bible.
But like, if you read all the parts, like analysis or something like that is the name of the section on Wikipedia. And it's all people, you know, hyper academic analysis where like, through a Marxist lens of how shitty the world is, it means this. Like, I don't think you needed Marx to tell you that life is fucked up.
Depression sucked.
Yeah, okay. But that seems to be the only people are already like who according to the Wikipedia page, which is not, you know, meaning very much at all. The people who came to it to write their dissertation already came to it with a pretty pessimistic lens, and then they like put it on this, and you know, and that's like putting the black light over the hotel bedspread. Like, oh my
You're
god,
you're just gonna see cum.
It's everywhere. This whole fucking room is cum. Motel sprayed, more like it.
Ugh.
You could leave the light on. Whatever that was, that their slogan? I can't remember. So it's just miserable complaining, you know, and not for the, you know, not without reason, but that's the book. Did I miss something? Is there more to it?
It's the search for meaning, or, you know.
But if you're looking in a newspaper column,
yeah, stupid. I mean, it's like he has to decide. What does he really believe in now that he's been exposed to this? And he's like, can I just shit out this column for money and not care amidst all the suffering like my boss does? Like a lot of people do. Just like, yeah, fuck it. Things suck, but I'm going to get mine. I don't know.
And at one point he tells his boss after he tries to, that he's going to respond to one of the columns and one of the letters to say, you should just kill yourself. And the boss says something like, the goal of a newspaper is to increase circulation. Yeah. And I think that will, by definition, decrease circulation, which is, you know, shows like the, if we were to get into the Marxist perspective, like this is what capitalism does to people. It's not that you say that is a horrible thing. These people, you know, this person needs help. They need support. No, it's that will hurt the bottom line. That's the reason not to say that. Though he does also, his boss, Shrike, also does tell him to go out and fuck that woman because maybe it will increase circulation.
Increase circulation somewhere. Ho.
Oh. Feeling a Marxist dialectic in my loins. So,
I'll show you my means of production.
Is that a lumpen proletariat in your pants? Or are you just happy to see me?
Oh, I should have gone with C as my means of production. Never mind.
What a
let me take you to a worker's
bourgeoisie you've got there.
Let me take you to a worker's paradise, baby. Okay, so sure. I didn't get all of that because this book was weird and I didn't like it, so I wasn't going to give it that much attention. Did you guys like it?
I don't think this is a book you're supposed to like.
You're supposed to be unhappy.
I don't know. I mean, okay. There is something that is, it can be as cynical as this, that is like satire, that I can find pretty funny.
It's called darkly comic, or like a dark comedy in the descriptions, though. I didn't find much funny.
Yeah. Exactly. It just wasn't that funny. That's the thing. Where it's like, it's quite dark, and I see how it is supposed to be very cynical and sort of in satire, but I wasn't enjoying it.
Could part of that be just because the jokes are really old? I mean, they're almost 100 years old. There are probably jokes in there we didn't even recognize were attempted jokes. Like the Armenian argument. What the fuck is that? I'm sure that got more than a, in 1933.
Oh, of course. Those Armenians.
Maybe that was a thing. I did not bother looking. But, maybe, you know, that kind of thing that was like, what is this shit? What is this gibberish? Maybe they were jokes. I know Jimmy's Googling it.
I don't even know what to Google for that.
Armenian what argument. You're going to get the name argument of a Williamsburg band.
Oh, maybe it's not about Armenia, the country. It's about Arminius. He's a philosopher. Something about...
No, it is definitely not it.
I don't know what to believe anymore.
That's it. Also, I do think you're making that up.
No. Arminius argued God's exhaustive foreknowledge did not require a doctrine of determinism. I don't know. It's also spelled differently, but...
That's too many.
If I even knew what any of that meant...
Is he saying like Calvinism is wrong? Bullshit. That's all it was.
Well, yeah. Okay. We all know that.
You know those Armenians, famous anti-Calvinists.
I have no idea what Armenians believe.
They don't get along with Turkish people.
No, they do not.
No.
Turks don't get along with them.
Yes.
Allegedly. So...
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
There's a 1930s joke.
Just greasing the wheels for the Armenian jokes.
You know, I kind of did actually like this book. I didn't like it because it made me happy. It was pretty fucking miserable, but I did like it. You know, the idea of like, hey, people are suffering, and if I just exploit that, am I a piece of shit? Because plenty of people do. Doesn't mean it's, you know, it's not a simple book. It's fucking miserable, but I did kind of enjoy parts of it. I did not get a lot of it. This is one of those things you can read a bunch of times and still never get it, or get different things every time, depending on how you're feeling that day.
You could also benefit from a very annotated edition that explains a lot of the timely, topical shit that was that meant something in 1934 or whatever. That just.
But who wants to read that?
I mean, if I'm going to read
even
a book,
worse.
Yeah, I mean, it's. But if you're going to read an old book, it's helpful. Like whenever newer publishers or when publishers put out new editions of older books, it is helpful to at least include that in there. Like I heard years ago, like a 100 stories of O. Henry or something like that. They're all the same fucking story, by the way. But they had tons of things from like 1904 that like was you were supposed to just get as a reference. And I was like, what is happening here? And you'd click a footnote and like, that was a name for a harmonica. And like, well, who the fuck called it like a grandma's queef bag or whatever the fuck? You know, like you just had to like know these things. I don't know if I exactly called that, but like
a staggering number of racist terms for everyday objects.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like they're not even that color. But it was very, you know, it turns it into an academic exercise a little bit, but it helps you understand the book. And this is a book that you're not supposed to just read and be like, what a great yarn. You're supposed to walk away and be like, huh.
This is more about meaning than plot.
Right, because there really isn't a plot. It's just the man's unraveling of his mental state.
Well, this author was allegedly like a book nerd's writer. Like people like him a lot and they're like, oh, he's one of the great ones of the American canon, but he died when he was 36 in a car crash. So he like didn't get to write very much. He wrote this one and a book about how LA sucks, which, you know, it does. So, but yeah, he was cut short.
I need you to look up the picture from his Wikipedia page right now, guys.
Okay.
The man, do you see it? I mean, it's an impressive mustache.
That is a good mustache.
That man is younger than all of us.
Wow, that guy does not look young.
Because he died at our
age. I would say 37 plus 50.
He looks like Mel Blanc.
Does he? Who knows what Mel Blanc looked like? I know what Mel Blanc, he did all the voices, didn't he?
You've never seen him? You've never seen videos of him doing the voices?
I don't think
it's fucking.
Yeah, this
hilarious.
Guy looks like an 87-year-old Mel Blanc who dyed his mustache.
He does like.
I think he looks like John Waters' dad who really doesn't approve of him. It's like, how dare you have such a thin mustache?
He must have smoked 40 cigarettes a day.
Oh, absolutely. He stored one in that mustache as like a like an extra clip for the next one. That guy's younger than all of us in that picture. Look,
people
viewer, listener, look at him up at home. Like, he might be 34, and you know, like that might be a few years before death. If that was the day he died, he's younger than we are.
Wow, you guys are old.
Well, yeah, we haven't. It's not like an odometer, Nate, like you, where it's gone back around past zero and started over again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a patron recommended this. Is that what we're
meep? Meep recommended
Meep.
This.
Thanks, Meep. And what?
You know what? Thank you for recommending something short.
Yeah, that was nice of you.
Oh my God, you are the best patron ever.
What were they hoping we would see or say? Did they give us like an assignment? Sometimes they say, like, "What do you guys make of this?" And we always fail to do
we
it.
We have to. We have to also read the other book. That's the next assignment.
The Day of the Locust.
Day of the Locust.
It sounds biblical.
Wait, for real?
No. But I mean, we could shit it out in a minute.
No,
that's
no,
an easy
please.
Gimme.
No, let's not.
Then we'll
Man,
have read
he,
everything.
He could be
this
like
was
the one author we've completed. We've batted the cycle, Nathaniel West.
Oh, we must have done that with someone else.
E.L. James.
You know what? Probably with the entire Saddam Hussein's.
Yeah,
entire,
we've read all of Saddam Hussein.
He has three novels that have yet to be translated.
Oh, no.
Wait, what?
Oh, yeah.
Time to start learning Arabic.
Zabib and the King is one of them.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Get your Urdu dictionary out or whatever.
Urdu is in Pakistan. They spoke Arabic.
What? You know what? It doesn't fucking matter because I'm not going to learn it. Oh my God. Okay. I'm looking up Wikipedia article, Saddam Hussein's novels.
Okay, oh, I'm looking up famous.
Oh, if you look at the picture of Saddam Hussein in that article, it looks like Nathaniel West.
This guy has four books and two plays and two short stories.
Okay, The Fortified Castle, a 713-page novel. Ooh, no. Okay.
Emily Bronte, only one book.
There we go.
We did it, boys.
Which one was that?
That fucking sucked.
Wuthering Heights.
Oh, God.
Also, Invisible Man, not The Invisible Man.
Ralph Ellison.
Yeah, he wrote 800 books.
John Kennedy Toole.
He wrote...
This says J.D. Salinger, but I think it's just one... He wrote other things that were published.
He wrote one novel, maybe. That's like the trick.
He wrote one novel.
Because John Kennedy Toole or whatever, who wrote Confederacy of Dunces, that book was published posthumously, and it was his first thing published. And then his mom found another thing of his they published even later that was even less complete, called The Neon Bible or something like that. So there's technically one more of it, and I'm sure it's terrible.
It's The Dunces Will Rise Again.
Harper Lee.
Harper Lee, we've done the cycle.
No, we have. Harper Lee.
Well, right, we're making
this
our
guy
way
actually there. Had more than two books, so it would be more work. I don't know if I want to do that.
He has four, yeah.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yuck.
I'm sure they're all really happy books.
You know what? I'm just going to read you the synopsis for his first book, which is called The Dream Life of Balzo Snell, which is Pig Latin for your ball smell. And it presents a young man's immature and cynical search for meaning in a series of dreamlike encounters inside the entrails of the Trojan horse.
The Trojan horse didn't have entrails.
Undergraduate art project. It's terrible. But it's 95 pages.
So I guess the search for meaning was his thing.
So he started up a horse's ass.
Yeah.
It's like, not there.
It's a metaphor.
Wow. Balzo hears their story. The characters represent various religious and artistic ideals. Balzo hears their stories systematically, only to discard them one by one, in a strictly nihilist fashion. Oh, that sounds like another uplifting tale.
While they're inside a horse.
Of horses. Yeah. Horse's ass. The main idea is, I don't want to read that book, but... I guess, do we have, what else is there to say about this fucking thing?
I don't know. I hope we did this justice, Meep. And we get it, you know? It's sad. It's a sad book. People are sad. And hope you can squeeze whatever meaning in your life you can out of this world before you kill yourself and decrease circulation.
That would have been, Nate would have actually said out loud, like, this beer is going to decrease circulation.
Of all the shots. All
right, Meep, tell us what you thought. Send us an email at drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
Follow us on Twitter at drunkguysbc.
Or go to Facebook and Instagram at drunkguysbookclub.
And, the Patreon. That's how they got this got recommended to us. Go there, because we are also just doing things for money, and no one's listening right now.
And go to Goodreads and do it there, too, for not money. Unmoney.
Brow.
And check out the Hopped Up Network, a network of independent beer podcasters. And thanks for listening.